stop on this train will be...
It's up to you, New York.
Swung on and hit in the air. Sydney Fenner fetch back, away back. Yeah. She is gone.
Deep
New York.
Hey.
Uh-huh.
I'm big young yeah. With dreams of fame. There's nothing you can't do.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for riding with MTA New York City Transit.
This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
Hello, welcome to another episode of 161st Street Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Luke Rella, here with...
Murph, what's going on?
And?
What's going on, guys? Damon.
Yeah, we're testing out the old phone call method here. Damon's remote in the city right now. Got a lot to talk about here. We got... the extortion, the extinction, the domination of your Boston Red Sox / New England Patriots, as they like to think of it now. That's all they're worried about. They're on to football season, but, you know, we got that. We got Doo-Doo, Davey, Dombrowski getting fired. We got Clint's call-up, Talkman's injury, Jay Happ, a lot of the pitching staff, injuries, all that good stuff. Glaber's still really good at baseball, whether he has goggles on or not. All that stuff coming at you. What do you got for me, Murph?
Yeah, not too much. It's, you know, the end of the Sox as season goes, definitely pretty much. I mean, it's going to be official. They're out of the AL. They're, what, still 8 games back in the wild card. It's pretty much over. Now the Pats got AB. Every Red Sox fan I know couldn't give a shit about the Red Sox anymore. All they care about is Tom Brady and the Pats. So they've kind of moved on, and, hey, good for them. I don't want to hear it anymore.
Yeah, I mean – the Red Sox have been so bad this year, and it's always been a little bit of them saying, like, oh, like, it's too early, we'll get there, and it's a little bit too little too late now. Like, there's no more time to wait. There's only 16 games left, and 16, whatever the fuck it is, 20, and there's not enough time left. They're about 8 games back of the wild card, and they're mathematically eliminated from, if we win tonight, oh, God willing, we're recording about the 8th inning right now, Murph?
No, it's in the 9th now here.
All right, well, yeah, we're recording in the 9th inning.
Yeah, Judge is up top 9.
And, yeah, hopefully we hang on to this one. You guys already know by the time you're listening. But once we win this game, then they're mathematically limited from the division. Not that they're very much in it at all. They're fucking out. But other than that, they're pretty much out of the wild card, too. What do they got to win?
Yeah.
They got to pretty much win out.
Before this game, they were 8 back in the wild card. I'm not sure now it'll be 9 because Tampa Bay probably won today. So, yeah, I mean, it'd take a shot out of the dark. But, you know, Boston does love doing that, so who knows?
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about them anymore. I feel like this should be the last time we ever bring up the Red Sox.
Yeah, let's talk about them a little more, though. Fuck them.
Yeah, but after this is the last time we're talking about.
Yeah, that's what we're gonna get it out of our system right now. This is
if we keep talking about them, then they win in our minds. I don't like that.
Not really though.
I have a fresh clean slate.
If I can find a reason to not like them being out of the playoffs at this point, basically it's that it was just a perfect time for them to stop caring and then just be like, all right, well, the Patriots are still gonna win the Super Bowl. Who cares?
Yeah, and I mean we. Most Yankee fans could do that, too, but, like, the Giants sucked it.
No, it's not even that. It's just, like, I kind of wish that the Red Sox were in the wild card race still, so there was a little more heartbreak at the end of the season.
That's the thing.
No, I love that guy. They just got destroyed.
Yeah, but they don't.
I don't know.
Well, because they can just hide under a rock and be like, all right, we don't really care. But they truly care so fucking much, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, we're going to win another Super Bowl. Like, that's how they can go there. So I agree with Murph. But
yeah.
I mean, in deep down, they really fucking care. Like it hurts them so much.
Yeah, of course they care, but they're not going to show it.
Yeah, of course not. They're not going to fucking show it. But I mean, let's keep talking about it. Let's shit on them a little bit. I mean, Davey Doo-Doo makes all these fucking deals. Matt, our friend who's a Red Sox fan, calls himself Dealin' Dave. But then again, I mean, he is the mastermind of the World Series team, so I'll give him that. But I mean,
nah, he's out.
Regardless, that team was just hitting on all cylinders when they weren't even like players that weren't even good. Like Jackie Bradley was one of the best players. Steve Pierce, who's a journeyman his entire life, just decides to be the MVP of the entire World Series.
He's played in every team.
He's played in literally every.
The Sox and they give him a fucking huge deal.
Yeah, and that guy. That's not an indication of how well it was going for them to win them that World Series, that's it, you know?
It's fucking
what?
Sorry, I got some money on the Texans, and they just tied it up to Deshaun Watson. It's probably the best player of all time, except he's banged up right now. So sorry, not Yankees related. But
well, either way,
backdoor cover. We're just sports guys.
But you know, every single person on that team was just hitting on all cylinders. They'll never admit it. Like if you look at Diamond Dynasty, for example, half the players on that team were all bronze. Like they all suck.
Oh, okay, here you go.
Regardless, fuck off. But that team was just playing out of their shoes, and now Deal and Dave makes all these great moves, and like even the Chris Sale injury, the Chris Sale deal.
Kenny Stills.
Sorry. All right, stop talking about fucking football. Sorry. I mean that fucking Chris Sale deal. What do you think about that, Murph?
It seemed really good at the time, and like I can't say that I wouldn't have made that deal if I were him, because I don't know anyone that wouldn't have at that time. It seemed like a good idea, but now he missed the extra point.
Focus up here.
I'm sorry. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, it seemed like a good deal at the time, whatever. But now they're in a spot where now that Dave Dombrowski's out the door, they're probably going to lose Mookie and they're probably going to lose J.D. next year.
Well, J.D. has an opt-out.
Right.
Do you think he'll do it?
Wouldn't you? With a new GM? He's probably going to clean house a little bit.
I mean, it took him.
I think Mookie's gone next year.
I mean, it's looking like a wasteland, right? Like, nobody wants to go there.
I think it'll be a little premature to say that they're going to be in a rebuild next year, but they're going to be in some remnants of relevance.
That's very premature to say that.
They're going to have something. They're not going to be buying in the offseason, I don't think. Maybe the new GM trying to establish himself, but I think Mookie's gone.
If it was any indication, they weren't buying at the deadline, so that kind of shows where they are.
Maybe that's half the reason he's gone.
That he didn't make a move.
Yeah, and then it didn't pan out. If it panned out, he'd still be there. But he didn't make any move at the deadline, and they were in a spot to make a move at the deadline, same way we were. But for us, it worked out.
Yeah,
for them,
the thing is, though, we had reinforcements on the way. Like I said before in an episode prior, like around the deadline, we were freaking out. But like I said, everybody's starting to come back now around the playoffs, and it's almost like a deadline in our own because it feels like we're acquiring these new pitchers when they're coming back. You know, we dealt with them all throughout the year without these players, like Seve, Betances, like all these guys who have been hurt, like Stanton, literally the entire year.
Sure.
And it almost feels like we're acquiring people, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, we had that in our back pocket. We knew that, and even Montgomery, too, which we don't know what we're going to get out of him, but we'll talk about that later.
Never know.
But yeah, I mean, it's just another arm. So we had that. We knew that was coming, and maybe that's more of the reason why we didn't make a move, obviously.
True.
And the Red Sox don't have that. They had the full roster out there. And the biggest move they made was Andrew Cashner. And he fucking sucks.
He was giving up bombs to the Yankees.
He's so bad. The biggest part about him is his beard. That's it. Actually, he's so
he's
bad.
Is
he? And he's been coming out of the pen, too.
I can't tell.
I mean, it's funny,
yeah,
too, because
he's not even in the rotation. Yeah. Not that he has a spot in the rotation anyway, because he sucked anyway. But, like, it's funny that was their big acquisition.
Yeah, you can't. The only if you're ever going to pluck somebody off the Orioles, it better be fucking, what's his name? The guy that always kills us.
Givens?
No, Givens doesn't kill us.
He's the only one I can think of. He's the only name on the
Trey Orioles. Mancini. Trey Mancini.
Oh,
Trey Mancini is the only one who's genuinely good on that
same
team.
Pitchers. My fault.
No, yeah.
God, but I love Goggles Gleyber.
Yeah, Goggles Gleyber. We'll get into Goggles Gleyber.
He's stepping in right now.
I mean, I don't even know. Does he have an eye problem or something like that?
I literally. Damon, you have any idea?
I have no idea, but I can barely hear you guys.
We can hear you just fine. So, all
right, that's enough talking about the Red Sox. The Red Sox are now done. If we win tonight, we're pretty much going to win tonight. They are now mathematically eliminated. Not that they were in it at all. The Red Sox season is now canceled. I have now officially canceled it.
Canceled. we're done.
Yeah, that's the Red Sox season
done.
For
we're
you. Like I predicted
we're
before.
We're only talking playoffs now. We're talking playoffs teams only.
Yeah.
Red Sox
and
are not relevant.
And
anymore.
I'll admit, I a little prematurely wanted to put that picture out of the killing of the Red Sox, the burial with the all that, and I'm glad it panned out because I would have looked like a very large asshole if if we got swept. But you know what?
Yeah.
It aged well, so we'll deal with that. But the Red Sox season is now done. Let's talk about the Yankees season because it is not done.
Yeah.
So let's move on. So Clint Frazier was called up, and this is a little bit old now, but let's just talk about his role. Like, where do you have Clint for this season? I mean, I personally when he came in, I'm a big Clint guy. Damon's a bigger Clint guy. He'll talk more about that. But
Voit Ribby.
What's the score now?
5-0.
All right, cool. So the Red Sox season is now officially done even more. So back to Clint. I mean, Damon, talk about how much you like Clint.
I mean, Clint's the guy. He's a dog in the team. And I don't know, he's always been that consistent hitter, and he's definitely been that. He's definitely been struggling in the field. And I think that showed, again, that last game when he came back and he did. Everyone was talking about how he made that great throw, and then he made two errors in the field. So obviously he didn't learn too much.
Yeah, they were saying he learned all this fielding and everything like that, and he's going to be back. He's been better. He really wasn't. It was more of the same.
Yeah. I mean, I still like him as a hitter, though. I know he hasn't been up in a month or so, but I mean, I'm still really confident in him as a hitter. And if there's an opportunity where he can DH, then I'd love to have him in the playoffs. But if there's no role for him to be a two-way player, because he's too much of a liability at this point. He's proven that.
I mean, it's literally like that saying I wanted to put on the Instagram. It's like, get you a guy who'll run through a wall for you. And Clint takes that way too literally, because he goes out there and he runs into the fucking wall, and he had the problem with the concussions before, because he literally ran into a wall before.
Yeah.
And now first play out there, he completely muffs a ball, and then he just fucking runs into the wall again.
But he also threw a fucking rocket.
Yeah, but it doesn't make – I get that.
I know it doesn't make up for it. There's a glimpse of that he can physically play the outfield sometimes.
But it's like Willy Wonka going down the stairs. You go down one step and you go back up two. Like, he fucking makes that dope throw, but not only did he run into the wall, but he overran another ball. And then you see Talkman –
I get that. I'm not saying he's a good fielder.
Yeah, but then you see – it's so funny because you see Talkman's face after, like, because he had to back it up. And you see Talkman, he's almost like the older brother, like, fuck this guy. Like, get him back down. Like,
because
he was chatting Talkman. Like, he's like, why am I not brought up originally when Talkman was brought up?
A long time ago.
And Talkman has proven why he was brought up.
Talkman's
now,
a better fielder with a calf strain than Clint Frazier is. Healthy.
And he's hitting arguably just as good as Clint was.
I'm just saying, like, with his calf strain.
Yeah, with the calf strain, he's
still
better.
Is probably a better outfielder.
And that also –
Clint's going to be a bench guy depending on when Stanton comes back.
So does Clint make the roster?
It depends how Stanton does and when he comes back.
I think he has to make the roster. I mean, like
– why? I mean
– I think
– didn't you have the graphic how many people are fighting for two roster spots, Murph?
Yeah, so it's –
I mean, it's going to be between –
here, I'll find
it. No, but you know right now it's
so
going to be between
well,
who?
But Talkman's out. So it's Talkman, Stanton – Talkman's out, sorry. And Hicks might be out. So really it's basically Stanton, Maven, and Clint.
And that's interesting.
Who's the odd man out? That's why I'm saying it's all about Stanton. If Stanton comes back and
it depends,
is nagging and not healthy and not ready for the playoffs, then it's Clinton Maven. But
it depends on Stanton's the factor there, because if Stanton comes back,
they're not going to have two outfielders on the bench.
No, but if Stanton comes back and he is a primary outfielder, which I think they hope that he is, you know, then that alleviates. That gives Clint the opportunity to be just a bench bat or a pinch hit. But I feel like, is that enough of a role for him to make the roster?
I think if Stanton's not on the roster, then he's a fifth outfielder. Because there's going to be four guys
Stanton's
going to
be on the roster
for the playoffs. There's going to be Romine on the bench, Maven's probably going to be on the bench, and then it's going to be one of the other guys is going to be...
well, it's also
between Urshela and...
Urshela,
Didi, and... DJ, one of them is going to have to be on the bench every game. And it'll probably alternate between those three. But other than that, Maven's going to be on the bench. Roman's going to be on the bench. And that fourth guy is either going to be...
No Terrence Gore?
No. The fourth guy is going to either be like Gardner or somebody when Stanton comes back. Somebody's getting plucked out of the outfield. But if
Gardner, I think Gardner's going to end up being the starting center fielder.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we keep doing these hypotheticals.
But who's in left?
But I mean, I feel like it's all going to end up working itself out. Like, somebody's going to get hurt or somebody's going to come back, and then the decision's going to be made for us.
I mean, no,
not that we make the fucking decision anyway. It's
Dan,
not
what do
us.
You got?
Yeah. I was going to say, like, yeah, I agree. Because, like, even when, like, that's what the whole season's kind of been about. And, like, even when I got the news of, like, Talkman injured, yeah, it was like, shit, that sucks. But I was also like, hey, you know, whatever. That's what's been happening, you know? And
yeah, it's the whole next like, man up shit.
It's the whole mentality of it all. It's like, usually if a star outfielder's injured, I'm like, oh, crap, we're screwed. But it's just like, yeah, it was business. That's just what's been going on.
Yeah, and that's the name of the game this year. I mean, and I don't think Clint has a shot to be on the roster at all, honestly. I mean, he's nothing more than a pinch hitter, honestly. He won't even be a DH because the DH has a log jam there too. And that's a whole other conversation with the whole Encarnacion versus Voit, because I feel like that's going to be how it shakes out, because
I think Voit's going to play first.
You think?
And
let's talk about that
gonna
then.
Edwin's going to DH.
Well, my whole thing is I think it's going to be DJ playing first, because when you say Voit's going to play first, that means Urshela's not playing third.
Or it means Didi's not playing short.
And Urshela came back, and he's already tearing it back up. He's right where he left off.
Don't get me wrong. I think we'll see LeMahieu play first at some point. But just you think about Voit's bat, and you also think about Edwin's
bat.
Has
it been good,
and
though?
The only way, he just got an RBI today. And it's Voit, and he's there. He's coming back slowly.
Is he hurt, though?
He's coming back slowly from a core injury. It's not easy to hit with even a lingering
core
injury.
That's my point. I'm
not
saying
if he works out, he works out in the playoffs and he's hitting, and he and Edwin both have the bats that we know they have, we have to incorporate those two bats in the lineup, and that's the only way to do it, is to put Voit at first and have Edwin DH. It's the only way to do it.
See, I think it's going to be – see, I mean, I'm not nagging Voit at all, and I love Voit, but I think it's the odds are stacked against him with the injury, and that nagging injury could prove to be, like, that the deciding factor with this, because, I mean, if he's he's good when healthy, but if he's not healthy, he's not coming back from injury. He never overcame it. He's playing through it, you know?
Right.
It's a different story.
But if it comes to that, we have nothing to argue about, because there's only one way to get around it.
Well, there's a lot of moving parts. It's the whole Stanton thing coming, because he could be the DH, and then that's a three-man logjam. But, all right, so when healthy, let's talk about it then. Would you rather have Voit or Encarnacion in the DH spot? Assuming that, let's say, DJ's playing first, Gio's playing third, Didi at short, and Gleyber at second. That's my ideal lineup in the infield.
I think Edwin Encarnacion, I think, is the safer bet right now, because, like you said, Voit with the core injury and everything like that. I don't know. I can't decide between the two. Damon?
I think healthy, I'd rather have Voit. I don't know. I just feel like he's been a bigger part of the team. I think even his presence in the lineup is just overall more beneficial to the team than with Edwin there. But given the standards right now, I think I agree. 100% healthy, Edwin is better than a half-assed Voit.
Yeah, right? And that's what I'm saying.
Then he's just going to start trying to hit the ball as hard as he can, even more than he already does, because his core is hurting. So, you know, that's something else you got to take into factor.
Yeah, and I think, again, the decision is going to be made for us, but, you know, I mean, Voit's never going to be back to what he was before, I think. He's just going to be like...
No.
I don't know. That's it. I mean, it's all about who's healthy and who's not, and it's all going to work itself out, like I said. But hypothetically, I do think that Encarnacion is going to be healthier than Voit is, and that's just the way it's going to work out.
The part that's a little fucked about it is that it's not like Encarnacion's incredibly healthy either. He just came off a broken forearm. Like, yeah, forearm's nothing compared to a core injury, but like, it's not like either of them are completely healthy.
I know, but I mean, Encarnacion's coming back too, and he already looks great.
No, you're right.
I mean, they're all looking good. I think Voit is looking the least good out of all of them.
Well, he just got back, but he did. He hit an RBI today. RBI single today. Bases loaded in two outs.
Again, it's not a bad problem to have. Like, you're having these guys all coming back, and they're all starting to perform. Like, Gio comes back today in his first full game. He started today, right?
Gio did.
Yeah. So his first full game. Yesterday, he got an at bat late, and he made a nice play in the field. But he comes back in his first full game, and he hits another home run, and then a double, and then Gio's back to where he...
It was a 10-day non-core injury, though, compared to Voit was out for, you know, the better part of a month, a little over a month, with a core thing.
A much worse injury.
Sports hernia. That's way worse.
That's my point, though.
Right.
Like, he's not going to be healthy.
We don't know that. He's been doing well so far.
And that also brings me to the whole factor.
Also, Chapman's in the pen right now.
Really? I mean, that brings me to the whole factor with, like, the whole CeCe thing, too. because that's like a whole playing through injury. And like he was literally just said that he's on a good day he's an 8 out of 10, and on a bad day he's a 10 out of 10 in pain.
But he's 40 years old. You walk down the stairs, you're an 8 out of 10.
I mean, yeah, but he's a 10 out of 10, and then we're thinking like, God damn, that sucks because this guy's career is over now because it's his last season. And then you look at Twitter, and he says, "Yep, CC slated to start on Wednesday."
What? Well, wouldn't you? I mean, we basically the AL East is locked up, all but locked up. CC probably won't get that much meaningful time in the playoffs, and it's his last, 16 games of his career. He's gonna start.
Yeah, and
he's
feel
probably
bad.
Gonna be pitching in pain.
I feel bad too. I'm because sure the guy's care. Had more cortisone shots than I've had breaths today. Like he has a cortisone shot every single day. And it's just his knees are like worse than I've ever seen anybody.
Because he's been playing a sport at 350 pounds where you use your lower body.
And he's a big dude.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Imagine pitching with 350 pounds on top of your knees for 20 years, professionally for 20 years, really realistically for 35, 40 years.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, your knees would be...
Yeah, at what point do you hang it
also,
up 2 years ago, though?
The Yankees win.
We won? Cool. Yeah. So now the Red Sox are now canceled. Sorry, Dan. But
that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Season's
over. So, again. The Patriots season's on now. Our roommate who just walked in is one of those. So.
The preseason started yesterday.
Yeah, the preseason, whatever. Fuck off. But, so, that's the whole Parrot. I'm going to go, what are your final thoughts on that? I'm going to go Parrot. And Parrot versus Voit. What do you got, Damon?
If we're saying...
Gun to your head, who do you got to choose? The other guy doesn't play at all.
They're both healthy?
Yeah, I'm saying if for the current state right now, with everyone's current health, I'm going Edwin as well.
Yeah, if they're healthy, I think I go Voit, but for the sake of this, yeah, Edwin. Just healthier.
All right, yeah. So
Edwin also overall has we're getting technical here. But he also has a higher WAR percentage than Voit this year overall.
I mean,
they're roughly the same amount of at bats.
We'll get a little stat bomb for you from Damon over there.
Well, stat bomb here from New York City. We got a Edwin WAR of 2.6 and Voit WAR of 1.7. Both have roughly about 400 at bats.
Isn't that crazy that they have like 2.6 WAR, and then you got guys like Trout who have what, 7?
I mean, Trout's not human. It's okay.
So DJ's got no shot for MVP.
No shot. Of course not.
He's just somewhat in the conversation, but I mean, honestly,
he's just in the conversation of second. He's in the conversation for second and third.
Maybe, but
it's like a fun conversation, but like it's really just like who's gonna be number two.
I think Devers has as much of a claim to that throne as DJ does, which pains me to say.
Yeah, no, he definitely does. All right, so let's move on. So, with all this success that Hap has been having, let's talk about Hap for a little bit. Because, I mean,
Hap's the... it's funny you mentioned... Oh, yeah, you said Hap, not Paxton. Can I just say one thing about... Sorry.
Yeah, those sound the
same. I mean, Paxton pitched there. I mentioned him. But, so Paxton has 8 consecutive wins, which is the longest streak since Von Nova in 2011. Also at 8.
8 consecutive wins.
8 consecutive wins.
See, I kind of noticed, like, you ever get those feelings where there's no stat that you could put your finger on with a player, mm-hmm. but you just got that feeling that, like, he's been doing so well and, like, turned the tide, and, like, you never really know. Like, I wanted to look on, like, Fangraphs and see, like, where, like what his ERA has been since, like, this date, but I don't know how to do that yet. I'll get there. But, I mean, that tells you right there. He's 8 wins in a row.
I got 3 for you. There's a really good Twitter account that I'm looking at right now, which is where I've got this. It's just called New York Yankee Stats.
Seems legit.
It really is. So, just the 3 from tonight that he's thrown out in the last 3 minutes is the Paxton one that I mentioned. Yanks are also 7-0 when Romine goes yard. Fun fact.
Sabermetric of the night.
And the Yankees have 14 wins this year against the Red Sox, and that's the most in a season since 1960. They had 15.
Yeah, I mean,
pretty
cool.
They've
been just blowing their doors down this year, so that's you just love to see things like that. Hate to see it on their end, but whatever. So, I mean, what we've been seeing out of Paxton is that of what we've seen earlier in the year, like when he threw the. I remember this one game that I just. Is ingrained in my brain. Remember when he was mowing people down? Our our chat was going wild, and he was just like, I think he had like an unbelievable, he had like 12 strikeouts through however many
innings. The other day?
No, this was like earlier in the summer. And it was what right before he got injured. He was just mowing people down. And then he got injured, and everyone, he came back, and everyone's saying like, oh, like, he's pitching through injury again. Maybe he's got Tommy John, this and that, whatever the fuck happened. But now he's getting back to that. And now he's putting himself, a lot of these people, a lot of the starters we have are auditioning for like that number one starter, whoever's going to be the first starter in the ALDS game one. And we'll talk about that and we'll, who we think is going to be that. But I think Paxton really makes a case for himself because he came in as a guy that was supposed to be this, and he's been a little up and down, but I think this is a good time for him to be, and it's been consistent for a while.
Yeah, I don't really care, like you said, what he did in the beginning of the season anymore. At this point, we've worked it out where he can pitch like shit in the first half and we can still get this many wins and get to the playoffs. And now in his last eight starts, basically 50 innings, 49 innings, 58 Ks, 2.57 ERA. If he carries those numbers into the playoffs, I don't care if he goes – I'm comfortable with him going up against Verlander or Gerrit Cole with those kind of numbers.
Especially with the depth of our offense. Like, it's not even like – everyone always says, like, oh, you don't have the starting pitching to win the World Series or beat the Astros. Huh?
Nothing.
What? Yeah. You just give me a little bit of insight. Some stats slid to me. But, I mean – everyone keeps saying this whole thing about like the starting pitching doesn't, they can't beat the, they don't match up against the Astros, but it's more of that because it's more than just the starting pitching. Like, yes, they do beat us 1 through 5 in the matchups for starting pitching. Gerrit Cole has 15 strikeouts a day through like fucking 7 innings, whatever. But our lineup is so deep where we're having conversations like we are like with these Parrott versus Voits and like guys who we're going to have to make a decision of who makes the roster. Who would be making impacts on every other team, you know? Damon, what do you think about Paxton? What do you think about the whole starting pitching and how they've all been all like auditioning? Who you got game one?
See, I don't know. I think I've always been a Tanaka guy because he's been the reliable. Because I think like Hap and Paxton they've gone their amazing streaks, both like throughout the entire season. And they've both been good, they've both been really bad. But if we're going game one, I'm going Tanaka.
You're going Tanaka?
Tanaka, wow.
Yeah, I am.
We didn't even talk about Tanaka.
I think I'm going Paxton.
Quote me on that.
Why Tanaka, Damon?
I'm saying he's just been the most consistent. Based on consistency, I'd rather have him.
I don't know. I argue that he's fucking the most inconsistent because one day he can go 9 shutout, and then the next day he gives up 14.
He's consistent against 30 teams in Major League Baseball.
So, yeah, but J. Happ doesn't go great one game and then blows it up the next game?
I'm not a J. Happ supporter. I was just saying that he gave up three hits in the last 2 starts, and that's alarming.
Great.
And he's been horrible other than that, but he's making a case for himself to make this playoff roster, not to start games, but maybe out of the pen. Do you think he got?
I think his best role to fit into the playoff rotation is if you start Chad Green for an inning or two, and then instead of throwing in
Nestor
Cortez or somebody like that, then maybe throw Happen and let him go 5 or 6 out of there.
See, I would never,
because he hates the first inning.
Everyone on the team hates the first inning except for Chad Green
and Paxton. And Paxton.
Yeah, they all hate the first. Chad Green's the only one who likes the first inning. And he doesn't like anything else. He's Doc opener. Like, he loves opening games.
Better in the first than the 7.
Yeah. I mean, if I had to pick a game one starter, I think I'd pick Paxton.
I'm with you on Paxton. Just because of how hot he's been lately. I mean, if he, you know, he'll probably have 2 more starts this year. If he goes ice cold in those 2, then maybe. And if Tanaka pitches well, I think there's still room to throw that around. And I don't think Tanaka's a bad pick either, but Tanaka can be a really good, well, Tanaka or Paxton, whichever one goes 1, the other one's going to go 2. Yeah. And they're both really, really good people that
are we not gonna, have at number 2. Are we not going to give Domingo any
talk? I don't think Domingo pitches
starts
the first 2 games.
Because what they're doing with him on Wednesday is CeCe's going to start and Domingo's going to follow him.
I like that.
That's what they said.
Yeah, that's great.
But they're not going to do that in the playoffs. CeCe's not going to do that.
I mean, probably not. I think Domingo could pitch game 3. I don't see a problem with that. He's a good game 3 pitcher, but I mean, he's young, and you don't want to throw a young guy out there in game one and game two, and then if, at the other end, if you need it, game six and game seven in his first year in the majors. They didn't do that with Seve. They're not going to do that with him. I'd rather have CeCe start a game seven and Domingo coming after than have Domingo start a game seven.
Yeah, I could easily see like Domingo if he was thrown out in like a, let's say we made the wild card this year and it's like a one game huge pressure. I could see him putting up like the Seve performance, like a third of an inning.
Where do you,
and then
where do you
get
put
pulled.
Seve in the rotation? Because he's
isn't that
be
a great problem to have
like,
now?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a, it could be. You never know. But we just we haven't even mentioned Seve yet. We mentioned Herman before Seve, which is something
we haven't even been
we
talking about Herman though. Herman has he has 18 wins, 17? No, he's 17-4.
So, yeah, I mean, just because of his youth. Damon, what do you got?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, Seve is, I'm always skeptical on people coming off long injuries, especially just jumping right into the playoffs. I mean, I know we're going to do it, but it's also like he just threw a rehab game today or yesterday or something. Like, I don't know how we're going to really realize that or, like, really depend on him going in into the playoffs if we don't, like, if he has to pitch a few innings. Even out of the pen or something.
I mean, he's
really only until we gauge on like how he's actually going to perform.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really gauge it because the AAA is no indication at all. So.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm gonna be honest. Like my peace of mind with him, it's not really that. Like, I don't feel like I'm not. Everyone's like, oh, like Seve's back. Like Seve's gonna be exactly the way he was before. I'm a little skeptical. Because he's putting out...
I'm very skeptical.
Yeah, the numbers he put out the first time out were awful. Like, everyone had the videos on Instagram and Twitter, and it was like, oh, Seve, like, hit 97, he struck out this guy in three pitches, and then they didn't forget to mention everything else he did that inning, and he gave up, like, four runs. And he looked bad. I mean, I don't know. And then the next game, he gives up a run, but, I mean, he looked a lot better. What was the stat line on him? He gave up five hits, five Ks, and three innings pitched, about 50 pitches.
Yeah, it was a little over 50.
A little over 50 pitches. I mean, that's a lot better. But, I mean, then again, you're also going against Triple-A players, and those would
double
be good.
Double-A is trending.
Double-A. Okay, so that's even worse. I mean, that's – I mean, I get it. He's just getting his footing, and he'll ramp up. But you just don't – he's kind of like a Montgomery situation. You still don't really know what you're going to get out of him.
And the good thing about – how he pitched in Trenton is they said his fastball looked lively and his slider was breaking more than even he expected. So, I mean, I don't think the stat line matters worth jack shit, quite frankly, because he hasn't pitched in almost a year. And it doesn't matter if you're going up against a high school team. Your first time on the mound, you know, you're just trying to work out your stuff. And that's all he was doing.
When he's getting comfortable.
He might have, for all we know, he's throwing curveballs.
He can't get a start against the – I mean, it depends if he comes back, but if he's going to run to the playoffs, he's not going to start against the Baltimore Orioles or a Tigers.
No, I agree with that.
You know?
Yeah, he's going to get thrown into the fire.
He's going to be facing these good teams who are in the playoff contention. So it's another thing to consider. He's going to go to AAA teams to playoff MLB teams.
No, yeah, that's absolutely right. And that's why I think he's getting two starts down there instead of coming right up after that first start. He's starting again on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And they'll probably give him a little more innings and whatever and – that's great, but I'm just saying that stat line, I'm not looking too far into it at all because I can't even tell if it's good or not because he gave up five hits, yeah, but I'm pretty sure he didn't even give up a run. And
no,
even
he
if he did, all right, one run, but still five strikeouts in three innings. Like, the stuff is obviously there, and, I mean, the hits are is what it is. He's probably being experimental. It's his first time facing a lot of pitching, so that's not worth shit to me. And hopefully he'll have time to come get one start before the playoffs.
Yeah, and he also threw – like 33 pitches on that game he pitched on September 1st. Like, he threw 33 pitches in one inning.
Yeah.
That's not good. And regardless,
then,
it doesn't matter. He's just getting his feet wet.
Yeah, but
so.
Then I don't know. I'm just saying, compared to that, like, over the next three innings, he threw 50 in that same game. So it's like, it's streaky, but he's coming back.
Yeah, you got to let the guy get his footing. I mean, it's nice that we have more reinforcements like him coming. And even in the same game, you got Betances pitching too. Betances is out there throwing, and he's. You see the quote? He's like, "I can strike people out, no problem with what I got right now."
Yeah,
he said that.
It's good to hear.
Hey, it's definitely good to hear. He's got the slurve working. He's got. I mean, he's only hitting like 94, but I mean, he usually hits like what 99, 100, but like he'll ramp up. He didn't have a preseason or anything like that, so he's kind of just going through that. So I mean, you gotta let the guy warm up. I mean. Chapman in the beginning of the season was only hitting, like, what, 96? And then he ends up hitting, like, 101, 102 now that he's got his feet wet. So but basically by the time of October, I assume Betances, barring no setbacks, will be gassing it at around 99, hopefully, you know.
Yeah, I think Betances, he threw, what, scoreless inning. He had one walk and one hit by pitch. That's fine. That's control stuff. That's, you haven't pitched in a while. That's fine. But Boone even said it's a positive step up, even though he's a little rusty. And once he knocks the rust off and comes back and faces some major league bats and gets that back under his, once he gets that over that little hump, I think he'll be fine.
And he's never had control. Like he's always like an out of control pitcher. Like that was his thing. He walks a lot of people, but like, so that's why I'm saying it's not even that alarming because it's who he is regardless.
It's true. Yeah.
He's a strikeout pitcher who kind of walks a few.
And also, just to touch back on Seve again, in this same article that he was talking about Betances on, Boone said that Seve has demonstrated enough the other night to be a potential option for the playoffs.
Like starting?
Just says potential option. That could be.
Yeah.
I'm assuming if they use him, he's going to start. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I was reading that, like, if Severino comes back and he's dealing. Our pitching staff could be pretty crazy going to the playoffs. We could have Paxton, Tanaka, Severino, and Happ just be the starters for the playoffs. And then if we have those four guys dealing, and then in the bullpen we got Chapman, Ottavino, Britton, Betances, Canley, Green, Domingo, maybe even CC in there. Like that's pretty lethal.
Yeah, and you even got whatever Montgomery does for us.
Happ. I don't know if he said
half.
Montgomery hasn't pitched in a minute.
I mean, neither has Severino. And Montgomery hasn't pitched in 2 years.
He hasn't pitched in 2 minutes.
Le'Veon Bell had a shorter gap between his games than Montgomery's about a half. Yeah, he's been out.
We don't
for
even
a
know.
Long
like,
time.
Was Montgomery like? I don't know too much about.
He was a rookie. And
he was supposed to be good. Yeah,
and he showed that he was pretty good, and then he got hurt. So the reason that we're even mentioning him now is because if he didn't get hurt, we could be talking about him in the likes of Herman right now.
Yeah. I wish – I hope he comes back, and that would be so, like, defeating for the other team to see, like, oh, and they got this guy too. Like, you got the big names, like the Severinos and everything like that, and if they're hitting on all cylinders, that's great. But then you – like, we're supposed to be this bad starting rotation, and if Montgomery comes in there, who hasn't pitched in 2 minutes, and he comes out there and deals, that'd be so sick. Because that's also on, like, the entire, like, United States stage, like, the whole world, like, worldwide stage. Everybody's seeing the Yankees, like, who isn't maybe, like, the uber big baseball fan like we are. Like, the casual fan sees that, and they're like, oh, damn. Like when they see the Gio Urshelas of the world, and they see if they had seen Mike Talkman and them, and they see Gio come out there, and Gio's just, like, they don't know who Gio Urshela is like we do. Like, they see Gio Urshela go out there and go 4-for-4. And play a gold glove caliber third base, and everyone's like, okay, this is actually fucked that they have all these deep players. Like, where did these guys come from?
And just kind of going back to this whole pitching, here's an interesting thing I saw today. The last bullpen spot, CC or Sessa. Take into consideration CC's last season, CC's, you know, legacy or anything like that, just how he is doing right now as a pitcher.
I mean, Murph's a big Sessa guy, so I don't know. What do you got on Sessa?
He's a big locker room guy, and I love it. But speaking of locker rooms, clubhouses, whatever, the Yankees, after they won tonight and eliminated Boston from the playoffs, were blaring New York, New York in the clubhouse at Fenway, just like they did last year.
Oh, I mean, you got to love that.
Love that.
You got to love that.
Brian Hodge just tweeted that out, so that's just awesome. You'd love to see that. But, yeah, now Sessa, I mean, everyone ripped on me when I said I like Sessa early on.
I mean, he hasn't been bad.
I think he's been very great. Serviceable. And you can't. And that's not everybody in your bullpen can't have a sub-3 ERA. That's just
not everybody's Ottavino.
Exactly. And he's also got an arm where he can throw multiple innings. And I think he's could prove valuable if he makes it in the bullpen in the playoff roster. And I think he should. But that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, I like that he can stretch it like more innings. Like he's like the Nestor. He's a better version of Nestor Cortez, I think.
Way better. Yeah.
I mean, Nestor Cortez. Let's be honest. Like, we love Nestor Cortez. I mean, we may or may not, depending on the guy. But Nestor Cortez is not it. he's
not a playoff.
Definitely. I mean, but immediately, Betances takes his spot. So, I mean, that'll bump him out. And then who else? You got guys like whoever. Who's this guy? That was Corey Greaves.
Greaves.
The guy who.
Guerin or whatever.
Yeah, Corey Guerin, who balks for a living. Like that guy. That guy's not making the roster.
I'd be sick if he did look.
His windup is literally a balk.
I'm starting to get used to watching him pitch and just watching batters have fits.
I mean, he kind of looks he's got pretty good stuff, aside from the whole balking thing.
It's not even the stuff thing. I mean, the balk thing alone just throws batters off. I know it throw me off.
I mean, it throws off umpires. If the umpire's going to call a balk on you, like,
not a balk,
you can't be really an effective pitcher.
Exactly.
I don't know. All right, let's move on. I mean, regardless, the starting pitching, I think. Did we touch on it before? Like, did we make a decision of Hap? Would you put Hap in the pen? First of all,
I don't know.
You wouldn't put Hap in the pen?
If he goes out and starts again and doesn't give up a run again, I might consider starting him, but I don't think that's going to happen again.
Yeah, I mean, we'll give it to the end of the year.
Yeah,
see if he keeps doing
right
this.
Now, if I had gone to my head right now, if he's in the pen or not, I guess it would depend on Betances. If Betances never comes back, then maybe, but no, I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, be honest, I don't fucking care. I don't fucking care if he does well for the rest of the way. Hap never will give me the security. Like, Hap fucking blows. Like, he doesn't blow. All right, I don't want to misconstrue that. Like, Hap kind of, he's good at times, but he's never consistent, and I'm never going to get that feeling of, like, oh, like, Hap's going to shut down today.
He could have two or three more starts before the end of the year, and he could go, you know, six innings, no runs like he has in the last two starts again. And when he steps foot on the mound in the postseason, playoffs, I'm still going to have this pit in my stomach, like, oh, God, this guy's going to give up 12 runs in the first inning.
Yeah, like, I have security when guys, like, I'll have a lot of security. If Paxton keeps pitching like this and he comes out game one, I'll feel good about that.
Mm-hmm.
If Hap comes out there coming off two perfect games, I don't think I have that security with him.
Yeah.
I mean, Damon, do you?
I mean, I don't know. It really just goes down to who's the other option. You know.
I mean, playoffs, they tend to do three starters deep. You know.
Yeah, but not always. And if we need that fourth guy, then it's like, do we do a Chad Green situation or do we go to Hap? But I think you have to.
I mean, I don't mind.
I think you have to have him in the rotation regardless. And if that time comes where it's Green's turn, then that's kind of like a game time decision.
I don't hate the idea of the opener in the playoffs.
I don't either. I don't either at all. It's been working. Don't break if it ain't fixed. I mean, sorry, don't fix it if it ain't broke.
I mean, I kind of like it. I mean, they've been sick with him, and they could also pair the whole Chad Green. Like, on Wednesday, they're going to be pairing CC with Domingo Herman because of the whole innings limit and everything like that, whatever. Maybe him being young and not being able to take the pressure of the playoffs right away. But I kind of like the idea of them pairing like a Chad Green opener with Domingo. What do you think?
I'd love that, yeah. That'd be awesome.
I think like going into that day, like if you were to rank like a Mount Rushmore or like a tier of like the confidence of all of your starting pitchers like per game when you go into a day, like, let's say it's the morning of a playoff game, and you got the combination of Chad Green with Domingo, you got Paxton Day, you got Tanaka Day, and you got who else? Who am I missing? No, not Hap. So I mean, it'd probably be those three, right? And so which one of those do you have the most confidence in? You wake up on game day, you see Paxton, you see a Chad Green / Domingo Day, you see a Tanaka Day. What do you like best?
That's a good question.
Why don't you ponder that, Murph, too?
I don't even know.
You rephrase that?
So if you wake up on game day, right?
Sure.
So the way I think about it,
you're assuming it's a game one.
Right? It's game one. Or no, it could be any game. You're just waking up on game day. I'm asking who you feel the best about, and that could translate to who you want game one, I guess. Yeah, so it's game one. So if I'm not forgetting anybody, you wake up on game day, and you see the probable pitchers, and you see a Chad Green Domingo Day. That's who I'm assuming it'll be. A Chad Green Domingo Day, a Tanaka Day, and a Paxton Day. Which one are you most confident in when you wake up? Like, you have that security blanket feeling with.
If it's tomorrow, Paxton.
Paxton?
Yeah, if it's tomorrow, Paxton, for sure.
It's hard to answer that question now because the easy answer is Paxton, definitely. The hard answer that I think could end up being is Tanaka because he's, first of all,
he loves the playoffs, too.
Has playoff experiences and has been good in the playoffs. But recently, he's had these blunders where he'll just implode and give up like 9 runs. And no matter how good he's pitching, that's always in the back of my head. And I hate that. And I can't get it out.
Yeah. And he just looks so sad and defeated. Yeah. When he throws his hands up in the air, and I hate it. I get sad.
When he's bad, he's.
Yeah. He gets so. He's like what Kev calls him, a mental midget. Like he just gets. He gets so in his own head. Like he actually. Like, he gives up a home run, yeah, whatever. He'll deal, and he'll give up a home run, but he'll just throw his hands up in the air, and then he'll just, like it'll eat at him, and he'll keep doing it, you know?
Anybody want to play a game of guess Gio Estrella's batting average since the All-Star break?
I mean, based on that, I assume it's at least in the 400s, so my guess, probably going to be 414.
Damon?
I was going to say 408.
It's a little lower, 370.
I kind of overshot a little bit, but with the way you phrased it. No, but 370 is sick.
Yeah, I mean.
You know what sucks, though?
He's gonna tear. This is a guy that nobody, in the beginning of the year.
Who is Gio Urshela?
No, who is Gio Urshela? He's a AAA guy that we got from the Blue Jays.
For a bag of balls.
A tub of orange slices and a bag of balls.
He's making $25,000 this year. That's a Venmo transaction.
Yeah. I mean, and the reason they got rid of him is because they have Vladdy coming up.
If
he stayed on Toronto, he would never. He'd be in AAA right now for Toronto.
Yeah,
probably hitting 630.
That's the coolest part. I mean, there's a silver lining to the injuries, obviously, but like, you forget about guys like Andujar. Like, that guy's never been talked about it all year, and Andujar was the Rookie of the Year last year. I don't give a fuck about Shohei Ohtani. Fuck him, but. I mean, you forget about Andujar. Like, what we talked about him before and, like, what his deal is going forward with the trades and everything like that. Gio's my guy. Gio's proven time and again. And with that stat, too, since the All-Star break, that's a decent-sized sample size, right? I mean, Murph's the king of sample size.
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of sample size. And, yeah, I mean, barring that 10-day stint on the IL, I mean, other than that, he's been playing. Hitting 370.
He comes back today, first game starting. It's a ding-dong.
And a double.
Bomb. And a double.
It's not really much.
Gio Urshela is my guy. And he walks up there with the fucking Jesus song.
He still does that?
Yeah. Every game I've been to, we've been to a ton. At every game that he was at, he was starting. He'd walk up with the, like, I love Jesus song. Like, Kev calls him his mom's favorite kid.
He's got to be.
He's his mom's favorite kid.
You see that thing on Twitter with the Friends opening with Gio's face?
He was the first one that was on there? No, that was the Full House thing, wasn't it?
No, it was a Friends thing.
I've seen the Full House one on Twitter. That was funny as shit, too.
I got a question for you guys.
What's the question, Damon?
Sorry, it's kind of hard to operate things and I'm not looking at you guys.
Yeah. So, spit it out.
We're in September. It's the last month of baseball. And our next 1, 2, 3, 4 series are all against teams who are below 500. Pretty great.
Who are they?
Tigers, Blue Jays, Angels, Blue Jays.
AAA. You'll love to hear that.
We might as well go do a road trip around AAA.
That's awesome.
I mean, like, we're marching in the first place of the AL East this year. I mean, I know a big question this year has been health and kind of keep up momentums, but do we rest anybody going into the playoffs?
Absolutely.
You think?
I think we rest, especially pitching arms, because you got to think we got to move some people back in that have been hurt. So I think you let Voit play a little bit, maybe get DJ a little bit of time off, maybe Glaber a little bit of time off, and then I think especially in the bullpen, I don't think you throw Chapman all that much. I don't think you throw Ottavino all that much, not especially because we're not going to have to against those teams. But you let Betances get his innings. You let Severino get his innings, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
you just, we don't need to put out our playoff lineup every single
I disagree.
Let Maven play. Let Frazier play. Let these guys get some innings, and we're still going to win games against those guys, but you don't want – the last thing we need is for Guardy to pull a hammy or Judge to rip an oblique open again. Like,
yeah, I know. I see your point with that, but at the same flip of the coin, you got the Astros that were in a dogfight for home field advantage, and yeah, home field advantage is so important. Like, every series you look at, last playoffs and playoffs before, playoffs past, the home team usually fucking wins, and – you see the playoff records this year. I don't need to pull them up again. It's astonishing. Like, they're, it's almost 700% like winning percentage for the home team between us and the Astros. And we do not do well in Minute Maid.
No, we don't.
And the Astros have also forgotten how to lose. I mean, you got Garrett Cole going out there, and he strikes out 15 in seven innings, which is astonishing. And then you they put up a football score. They put up 21 runs the other night. That's absurd. They put up 15 tonight. They put up 15 tonight.
The Jets can't even score that much.
Yeah, the Jets. The Jets don't even score 15.
Yo, shut your mouth.
I'm a Jets fan.
No, he just said it himself. I just echoed it.
They had 16 against them.
But that's my point, though. My point is, like, I don't, I'm not a big believer in this whole, again, we're playing shitty teams, but I see that as a green light. I see that as a green light to go and dominate and just win every single game from here on out. And I don't know, and look up the Astros record going forward for the rest of the year. I'm sure it's a lot of divisional games, too, and they have what? They have the Athletics in their division, too, right? So that could be big. I mean, I hope they play. Look it up, Murph, but I don't think their record, they probably don't play nearly as. They probably have a much tougher
schedule.
We
have the exact same record as the Astros right now.
That's what I'm saying.
And
that's my point.
They play the A's.
That's what I said. Called it.
So, well, they're playing them right now. So they still have to finish up three more games of that series. The Royals, the Rangers, the Angels, the Mariners, and then the Angels again.
Okay. So they have an easy schedule too, which is exactly my point. So you got to believe they're thinking the same thing. They're thinking, do we rest? Do we do all
and
this?
They, it's not like they haven't had any injuries either.
So no, they have. Springer was hurt. Altuve was hurt. Correa's hurt right now. I mean, all that aside,
they're still fucking lethal.
Yeah, and so are we. That's the point. But I think we have to not rest. I know how beneficial it could be to rest and give other guys reps and stuff like that. But we can give those guys reps, like Voit, while putting the good guys out there. Like, to go pedal to the metal.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying take everybody out for every game and just let – or Triple A team play out the rest of the year. I'm saying just like you need to give the days off. Finished the dog days. You need everybody healthy still. Don't make Judge play for the next 3 weeks every single game.
That's not what I'm saying. Yeah. All right. Then we're talking about the same thing then. I'm just saying I don't want to give up on this home field. I want it to fully expend all of our resources and go after it. Like, I want to win home field because I know how important that is. And if they come into the Bronx and play us in the Bronx – majority of the games, I like our odds there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me ask you one thing, man. And Damon, you too. Right now, obviously, sitting at 95-50. Tigers, Blue Jays, Angels, Blue Jays, Rangers.
How many wins are you going to get?
And we do have a two-game set with the Rays in there. How many wins?
How many games are left?
Sorry, trying to do math.
Communication major.
Yeah.
17.
Thank you.
17 games left.
Damon's got
Damon
a job
Romeo,
for a reason.
Damon Romeo, everybody.
All right. So 17 games left.
17 games left. You got 95 wins.
So the maximum we can have is 112 if we went out. Just trying to show that I can still do math.
Taking into consideration our winning percentage is 65%.
Yeah. So I mean. Yeah, extending that across those games,
so
mathematically.
That means we should win 10 more games, mathematically.
Oh. So 105. And I think that's also that number with the 65% win percentage includes games against greater teams than those.
We have an easy schedule.
Yeah, we have an easier schedule. So, that's good because I guess that means almost at least 105 is what we should shoot for, because that just – goes with the way the season's been going.
Do you think there's any shot we get 110?
That would be so fucking cool. And that's why, since that's in, like, it's in range, I want to just go for it.
I don't think we're going to do that. I don't think there's a chance.
No, I'm never going to do that.
But it'd be really fucking
What's
cool.
What's the record? The record's like 116, right?
Yeah, it's we're not close to the record.
No, fuck the record. I mean, talking about records, though. Let's talk. Want to talk about the home run record? Because we did break our franchise home run, which was the record last year that we set for the most home runs in a single season. And we are trailing the Twins right now. We're about 7 home runs behind them before tonight.
Yeah, I don't
I'm not sure where we are. Right
I don't
now.
Know how many they hit. I'm sure I can find us somewhere.
Yeah, but we were 7 behind them before tonight, so we can probably look at it after, and I'll put something on Instagram or something. But I mean, with guys like Stanton coming back and Edwin's back and Voit and all this power, and Glaber is just fucking Jesus Christ himself. That guy's no words need to be said about Glaber. But with all these bats coming back, and Stanton especially, and Judge hitting on all cylinders like he is, I think we can catch up to them with, what was it, how many games left? 17?
17.
Yeah, I think we can easily. With 7 home runs behind, like, what if they, I mean, we got better bats than they do.
Yeah.
Because they currently, we're both at a point where we both broke the record. So now we're in new territory, both of us. So I think if we, I think we can catch them and then set the record again. That'd be sick.
Yeah, at this point, like, the record can be broken every year.
We're 5. Yeah, balls. I believe we're 5 back.
5 back now?
Yeah, because we had 2 today.
And did they
so
play today?
So they have 275. We had 270. This is a tweet, but it's in Spanish. But Spanish numbers aren't different than English. So, yeah, I think that's what it's at right now.
I mean, the math checks out.
Yeah, so.
No, but regardless of the math here, I think
educated guess is we're 5 back.
If it's around 5 to 7 to 4, around that range, I think we can catch them. I think that'd be sick, too. It's just another like accolade on the season. There's been so much shit that we've broken, like records-wise, whether it be the home runs in the month of August. Like, that was amazing. Just every time I look, I feel like we're breaking a record. It's so fucking nice to see.
Yeah, as I said before, I think these records are going to be broken every year, every other year, home run records.
With the juice balls. I mean, let me ask you guys a question. The home run record this year, we're 5 or so, whatever the fuck number Murph came up with, behind the Twins for the record. How does that look if we're fully healthy all year? Do we have 1,000 home runs?
I don't know. I mean, that's like...
Sure shit ahead of the Twins.
For sure, yeah, out of the Twins.
I mean, it's not like our home runs been down because people have left.
No, but like the spots that are being filled are guys like Stanton's Void, who's proven that he can hit 55 to he what he hit 59 the year that Judge hit 52, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was his MVP, right?
That's 50. I mean, granted, he's not going to do that again, probably. But if he's healthy, he's good for at least 35 home runs, right? You got to believe. So you got 35 from him, and then. By the math here, I'm just doing off the dome, but I mean, we're at least like 30 home runs ahead of the Twins. All I'm saying is, like,
if we were healthy this year, we would beat that record in August.
Also, to consider taking people in and out, it's like, yeah,
everyone's healthier too. Twins
allows other people to play, and, you know, it's like no one thought LeMay was going to have 25 home runs this year. Like, I mean, people just get more at bats and gives them different opportunities, so it's like kind of difficult to say.
Yeah, Talkman's home runs would have been obsolete. Yeah. Like, yeah.
And the home runs out of the catcher spot with like Romine and Higashioka. I mean, when they play, they still get some too. I mean, it's
like Talkman has 13 home runs. That's ridiculous for a guy like that.
For someone who hasn't played like nearly that many, yeah. It's kind of fucked up to think about. Yeah. No, yeah, I guess so. Like. The amount of games that they've played is more than made up for the void that's been left by guys like Stanton.
And Brett Gardner has 21 home runs.
Yeah, he tied his career high. That's tying his career high.
That's ridiculous. Like, those all count for a Stanton playing the whole year.
Yeah. I mean, did you see the shit about Gardner and how he's been like challenging Judge to like have like a little home run battle? Like, I know Glaber and Gary have been doing the home run challenge, like going neck and neck, and that's fair because they've both been playing the majority of the year.
Do they both have 21?
Glaber and
No, Judge and Gardner.
Yeah, they both have 21. So Gardner has been, like, giving him shit and saying, like, oh, like, I got more home runs than you. And he's played – Judge has played half the year, which is just funny. Like, Gardner's the oldest one on this team, but he's the most immature out of all of them. I love it. I don't know where this has been funny. All of his career, too. Like, I haven't seen – he hasn't been this immature, like, with the banging and shit. I think he just knows he's on the way out, so he's just trying to get it a little –
I don't know if it's that. I think he's just kind of – buckled down, figured it out, and now he's having fun. And now
he's having so much fun.
And now he's kind of I think it came a little bit. He's kind of reminding me right now of like what Todd Frazier was a couple years ago.
Todd Frazier was like this.
No, but he was like the old guy. He was kind of funny, like kind of quirky, that kind of thing. And that's where Guardy's coming in now with the bat thing. And it's just like, it's something that we need. It's like, oh, look at this guy. He's old
now. Literally our call and cry now with the let Brett. When they hit a double and they go like that, they bang.
It's like, it's something like that. It just reminds me a little bit of Todd Frazier. Yeah. And like, I just thought it's refreshing to see because I miss Todd Frazier.
They do the four thing that nobody knows what that is, but then they do the bang. I don't even know what that four could be. I feel like it definitely wasn't – it's not anything, and they just huddled together and were like, yo, if we just pretend and not tell anybody what this means, it'll kill everybody, and then it becomes a thing. Like if they didn't have anything before – this is before the Let Brett Bang thing. They didn't have anything, and they knew they needed, like, a call and cry when they do that, like, the whole thumbs down thing a couple years ago. They didn't have anything, so they're like, all right, if we don't tell people what it means – they'll think we have something. So they're just doing the four, and then you got Gio going on other podcasts. I think it was the Short Porch or something, and he goes on there, and they asked him what it means, and Gio's like, honestly, they didn't tell me. And I truly believe that, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I just thought it's the thumbs down. That was my favorite.
Yeah, the thumbs down good. I mean, the Brett Bang thing, I like that better.
It looks like you're jerking off.
Yeah,
but you know the context of it.
Yeah, but I can't go up to you walking by you on the way to class. I could go with the thumbs down. I can't go like this. But I'll get
it looks like you're like churning butter or something
like that. Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Hey, Murph.
It looks like you're doing a shake weight.
Yeah, like across the quad and go, hey, yo, Murph. And then everyone just looks at you.
That can be misinterpreted in so many ways.
Yeah. All right, so I got a question for you guys. Another question. A lot of questions here today.
Going back to comparing people?
Yeah, we're going to do a little compare and contrast here. If you had to start a franchise right now and you had to pick one person, there's no wrong answer here. Would you pick Gleyber Torres or Aaron Judge going forward?
Fuck.
Damon, what do you got?
Wow. Yeah, and I think there's two things to consider with this. First and foremost, obviously, we're going based on stats. We're going based on who's going to produce the most for you as a two-way player. And then you got to go back to, if you're building a team around someone, it's also like how are they locker room guys? Are they going to be leaders? Are they going to be the face of the franchise? And if we're taking into consideration those two things, I'm sticking with Big Boy Judge for this, because I know Gleyber's been playing out of his mind lately, but Judge is still Aaron Judge, and he's still a phenomenal player that he's proven to be. And right now he's still the guy.
I'm gonna somewhat agree. I think I actually do agree with Damon, but I'm going to also give the Gleyber argument because, first of all, the reason I think I'd pick Judge is because who have we been talking about as if anyone's going to replace Jeter as the captain? It's Judge. If it happens.
Yeah.
And we were debating when that's going to happen. We weren't.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever going to be talking about Gleyber as.
Yeah, he's just the cute captain, little. He's the cute little guy.
But also, we're not looking for a captain. We're looking for somebody. In this instance, to start your franchise with. And I just think Gleyber's
a much more... No, that's included, too.
I just think Gleyber's a much more unique player than Judge is in a sense that he is a power-hitting middle infielder who can also field and can also hit for contact.
Yeah, I mean, Gleyber with the... I mean, there was a stat on Twitter I saw that Gleyber has the most home runs by a middle infielder age 22 or younger, and the only two people above him that have also accomplished the same feat with higher home runs And obviously the year's not over yet. Mm-hmm. Where was A-Rod and A-Rod.
Yeah, exactly.
And, yeah, continue. I mean, that's just one thing about his middle infield power.
I really do think it's still Judge. It's not to say Judge isn't a unique player. I mean, he's a 6'8 guy who has a cannon attached to the right side of his body and can also just field and hit. And he's a freak in and of himself. But, like, I mean, it's a little bit easier to, if you look at it from one side, it's a little easier to replace a power-hitting right fielder than it is to hit a replace a power-hitting multi-position infielder that can field.
That's a very good point.
That's just something.
Yeah. And I think, so who would you pick? You pick Judge?
I still think I'd pick Judge, but I think it's a great question because I think it's still...
Also, Glaber's 22 years old.
That's what I was going to talk about.
The age thing is also...
I mean, the age thing, if you're starting... The question is starting a franchise, and you got to believe if Glaber's 20 fucking 2 years old, like, dude, that kid's... He's our age.
Yeah.
He's our age.
Yeah.
I mean, Glaber's 22, Judge is 27.
Regardless,
there's about a 5-year, 4-year age gap. Like, that's four. I mean, if Glaber's already starting his career with all-star appearances in both of his years.
Yeah. No, I mean,
Judge, not to say anything about Judge. Judge also did that, but he did it a little later. And if
Judge didn't come up until he was 24.
I mean, personally, you can't go wrong with either of the two, and I don't think we're going to be faced with a problem like this. I think they're both going to be hopefully locked up for good. But if you had to tag one for the forever to be a Yankee in pinstripes forever, I might make the argument for Glaber because of that age gap, and he might have, let's say, I don't know, 15 years possibly left in the league at 22 years old, seemingly pretty durable. I mean, this year he's one of the only people who have been around.
Yeah,
he had one injury that was for like a week or so, and he came back and he came back in the dugout just smiling and everything like that. He's not going to be that leader like Judge is, and that's
even
the thing, too.
I wouldn't say that he's not. He's not going to be the Judge-esque.
Exactly.
Part of it is because he doesn't speak English. It's hard to be
when
you don't speak English. But, like, I mean, that's the same reason Masahiro, you know, isn't the same way.
And
CC
we're also
is.
Not in the locker room. Like, we don't know.
Yeah, that's true. But, like, I'm just saying in general, like, I think Aaron Judge kind of fits more of the franchise player model than Glaber does. But I think if you're looking for who's going to produce more from here on out to build your franchise around, I think it might be Glaber.
Yeah, because, I mean, he plays a position in middle infield, which is tough to come by, especially one that has power like that. I mean, the dude's slashing .286. He's got 35 home runs. He has 88 runs batted in. He's going to break 100 RBIs this year. He's going to bat almost 300 with that many home runs. Like, it's ridiculous. And, I mean, Judge is doing more of the same that he always does, and he's got the fucking... I mean, they both have a rocket. I mean, Judge has a rocket. He's one of the best arms in the league. But, like, they're both great fielders, and they just... Yeah. I mean, there's nothing more we need to say about that. I mean, personally,
How does Judge have a higher reward than Glaber this year?
Glaber has a lot of errors, believe it or not. I mean, Glaber makes the flashy plays and stuff like that, but he does also make a few errors. But that comes with the age, too, so that might be a little bit... I don't know how WAR is calculated or anything like that. But, you know, I mean, Judge always making those diving catches and
this could be
throwing people out.
This could be flawed, but WAR is wins above replacement, I guess. You know, I'm not even going to say it because I'm pretty sure it's just not even moderately accurate.
So say it.
It's just, like, skeptical. I'm saying those who would replace Judge are Clint and people that make a ton of errors. And then
it has
the
nothing
one
to
who's
do with
replacing,
the people. No,
that's what I'm saying. That's why I said that's absolutely ridiculous.
It's literally...
Whereas
wins,
DJ
it,
would be replacing...
It's wins above the average player. Like,
I know.
The epitome of average baseball. I know. I know you know. I'm just saying.
That's why
those
this,
who don't
I,
know.
That's why that thought popped in my head for a second, and it just lasted long enough
because
where
the next guy
entertained it for a second, and then that just
wins
made me sound like I've never watched baseball before.
No, because the next guy behind him may be like Clint. who has every error in the world and concusses himself on a daily basis. Yeah, no. But if I had to choose, gun to my head.
Your toe's still black, huh?
Yeah, I dropped my desk on my foot. But if I had to choose gun to my head, I'd probably choose... See, I can't even pick. I'm flip-flopping back and forth because I want to go Judge. And I think I actually might still go Judge, but the conversation has to be still had about Glaber, too. I mean...
Yeah. I think I agree with Murph when he said before. It's like, if we're talking about, you know, player value and statistical value of the player, who's going to provide you more over their years is probably going to be Glaber. But overall, player and franchise player and captain and, you know, also a phenomenal player, it's Judge.
Yeah. All right, I think we're going to start wrapping it up. But I got one more thing for you guys. I mean, we were talking about it a little bit before, but it's kind of a shame that Gio, like, that whole thing with the qualifying. We've been looking at that for a while, qualifying for, like, the batting title. Does he have enough at-bats or plate appearances or whatever the fuck that is? And it's kind of a shame that since he got injured, like, I don't even know how many at-bats you need, but I don't think he's going to probably – with that injury, he's probably not going to be eligible. And it's weird for the batting title I'm talking about. And, I mean, it would have been nice to have, like, Gio or Urshela pop in there and just be winning the batting title over DJ, or, like, those two are in a dogfight for it on the same team. And it's kind of fucking weird because I looked at it, too. And what's his name? Who was the other one heavily involved in the batting title? Michael Brantley. Michael Brantley apparently is slumping like crazy. He's at, like, 321 now.
I
looked at it this morning. Yeah, look at the ALA's the batting averages right now, but – The leader right now is Tim fucking Anderson, because he now is the same thing. That would have been what Gio is doing, because he qualifies now.
Gio has 415 plate appearances, and you need 502 to qualify.
So he's probably not going to qualify.
Yeah, so Anderson's up there at 334, and DJ's second. Brantley's falling off because that dude from Baltimore, Alberto, he's tied with Brantley. Hanser Alberto. So Never heard of him.
What's the top Urshela
is low-key close.
In terms of...
Yeah, he's got a double asterisk. I'm assuming it's because of the plate appearances.
If Urshela played the rest of the season, he would need to average 5 at-bats a game.
Yeah, he has 415.
Yeah, and if we're going for that whole resting or rotating people in and out, I don't think he'll get it.
He's 5 at bats per game. That's in itself is a lot.
Yeah, it probably won't happen.
He has to play every game.
Yeah, they won't.
No, he's not. I mean, that sucks too, because I wanted Gio to get it, because
still hitting 330 with 415.
I mean, regardless, it's still awesome. But him to get that recognition would have been awesome. Like everyone, because we have that whole feeling of like, who the fuck is Gio or Urshela? And then everyone else in the league would be like, who the hell just won the batting title?
You know, it's a little bit of a strange observation about the batting title.
What?
Guess the one team in the AL that has 3 players in the top 10.
The Yankees.
Nope.
No. It's the Rangers?
Nope.
No. No, wait, it's definitely Rays. Not.
No, in the AL.
Sorry, I was there, Rays.
I'm going to go out here and don't even tell me Orioles.
No, it's Boston.
I was going to say, I only said Orioles. I sound like an idiot now because you said the Adalberto thing.
I knew Devers was up there. And I knew JD was somewhat close, but Devers has at 313, so he's 5th. JD's at 308, so he's 6th. And then Bogarts is at 307, and he is considered 8th for some reason, because 7, they're saying, is Urshela. I don't really know how they put Urshela at 7 because he has 330, but he can't win. I don't know. Urshela's at 7 for whatever reason. Probably has something to do with how his plate appearances factor in. But so basically, they're 5, 6, and 7.
I mean, there's nothing to be like. They obviously have a really good offense, but I mean, their season's over.
No, it's just like laughable that they can have 3 guys hitting above 300.
Just, yeah. That's a testament to how bad their pitching was.
Yeah, Jesus,
their pitching was so fucking bad. I mean, yeah. All right,
same thing. Is JD also had 35 home runs?
And also, closing comments. For me, my closing comment is, how funny was it fucking when JD Martinez in the outfield? He just. One, combating the sun. The sun was his worst nightmare out there. And then he touched that woman's boob out there in right field when he was grabbing the ball. And it's just – he's just an abysmal – like, he's even – like, people talk about Clint being a bad fielder. He is a DH and a half.
He's
like,
he is a DH.
That's it. Yeah. And that's it. That's all he does. The fact that he won Silver Slugger last year for 2 positions, one being right field, considering he didn't even play right field, and he doesn't play a good right field – that was nonsense, but regardless, horrible outfielder. That's my closing comment. What's your closing comment, Damon?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think I'm getting straight into playoff mode. These next 17 games are kind of going to be, like, just a warm-up for the playoffs, and I'm fucking pumped. And let's break every record possible that we can for the rest of the season.
I'm down.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're
I'm down if you're down.
I'm down. I'm ready to ride.
Definitely down. We're getting into that just beautiful time of year for sports because hockey and basketball are sort of creeping up, and then once October hits and hockey and basketball starts, college football and NFL are in full swing, and it's MLB playoffs, and it's just the most glorious month for sports.
This is the Yankees podcast, America.
No, it's
I'm
fine.
Just saying
we're
big
sports
time,
guys.
That's all.
It's fine.
It's an exciting time.
I'll allow it.
If I get to watch the Yankees play baseball and not have to watch the Red Sox play baseball, I'm fine with that. Let's take it. October.
All right. Let's take it. Chase for 28. That's all we got for you. Like and subscribe helps us do more. If you're new to this, make sure you keep watching with us. Keep listening. I mean, we don't have any video. We'll get video soon. But, yeah, like and subscribe. Follow the Instagram, Twitter if you don't already, YouTube, all that. Let's go, Yanks.
Let's go, Yanks.
And when it falls down, who you gonna call now? Come on, come on. And when it all falls down, man, I promise. I'm so self-conscious. That's why you always see me with at least one of my watches. Rollies and posses that drove me crazy. I can't even pronounce nothing past that for safety. Then I spent $400 on this just to be like, nigga, you ain't up on this. And I can't even go to the grocery store without some ones that's clean and a shirt with a team. Scene, we live in the American dream. The people highest up got the lowest self-esteem. The prettiest people do the ugliest things. For the road to riches and diamond rings. Shy because they hate us. Floss because